This is The Missing Link with your host, the insufferable, but never boring, Sean Jackson.
Hello, everyone. It's your host, Sean Jackson, and I'm joined, as always, by the unique Micah Gadea. Micah, how are you?
I'm awesome, Sean. How are you?
I am exhausted, and I'm going to tell you why. I am doing this recording from Las Vegas at the PubCon conference that's going on. And I mentioned this before, I think, on another episode, that I always consider, you know, PubCon kind of like the Super Bowl, all the best teams, all the best presenters, et cetera, they come. But boy, do they like to go out a lot.
Oh, yeah, you don't, Sean. You're like an early to bed guy.
That's it. I tell you, the best part of PubCon for me has been so far is the fact that they've only had one session on LinkedIn, and the person who was supposed to do it with me dropped out at the last minute. So I literally had my own solo session on LinkedIn to a packed room, and it just gets me, Micah, every single time that you go to these conferences, and rarely are people talking about LinkedIn from the stage, and yet the audience is like, hey, LinkedIn has been great for us. LinkedIn does this. LinkedIn is this. Can't believe somebody's out there talking about it. Okay, so people ask me, you know, why do you do the show? How are you making money from the show, Sean? Are you selling ads, et cetera? I'm like, no, because the show has two points. Number one, to help people succeed with LinkedIn marketing because it is a great tool. And two, of course, is to get them to try out the Rainmaker platform. And sometimes I don't think people make that connection. So, Mike, I'm a little dissed sometimes people don't always make that connection and go through. So, you know, it was a great conference, had a great time. But at the same token, I would really like to be able to put something together where it's like, here's how you go from LinkedIn to a Rainmaker site to making money online. That's what I'd like to do.
Well, Sean, while you were in Vegas, because what happens in Vegas stays in Vegas, but while I was over here working, I went ahead and I found one of our superstars from the Missing Link group in LinkedIn, and you are going to be shocked.
Really?
Yes. Dylan Jones from our Missing Link LinkedIn group is building his businesses, virtual summits, membership groups, online landing pages, working his blog all on the Rainmaker platform. And his main way to get his customers, LinkedIn.
Really?
He's like your guy. He is your, he's your perfect person, Sean.
All right. So we totally are going to have to put him onto the show, Micah, because I really want our audience to understand how the pieces and parts fit together, from using LinkedIn to draw traffic to a Rainmaker site to making money from that Rainmaker site. So I tell you what, Micah, during the break, we're going to go get Dylan on the phone, okay? We're going to get him scheduled and make sure that we can interview this guy, because I want this guy to share this story with us. And while we're doing this, I would also encourage everyone to go and join our super secret private LinkedIn discussion group. And Micah, how would they be able to do that?
Well, they can text us on their mobile device to 41411. And I want to make sure when you do the keyword, you do an MYLINK without the space. It will autocorrect for you, but please take out the space. It's MYLINK. That's important. And for our international members who are outside of the continental United States, you will email us at missinglink@rainmaker.fm and we'll take care of you right away.
Sounds good. All right. So go get Dylan for during the break. Everyone else, come and join our super secret LinkedIn discussion group. And when we get back, we're going to have someone who's taken all the pieces and parts of the show and put them together successfully. So stay tuned.
The Missing Link is brought to you by the Rainmaker platform, the complete website solution for content marketers and online entrepreneurs. Find out more and take a free 14-day test drive at rainmaker.fm/platform.
Welcome back from the break, everyone. It's Sean Jackson, and I am so excited about this, Micah. So excited to have Dylan Jones on here, because Dylan's story, I really think, is absolutely fascinating, because I think he has put together my two favorite things in this world, LinkedIn and Rainmaker. So let's go ahead, and all the way over from the UK, Mr. Dylan Jones. Dylan, are you there?
I am indeed. Hi there, Sean.
Thank you so much for being on the show.
Hey there, Micah. Great to be on the show.
Excellent. So, Dylan, you know, we were talking earlier before we during the break, and I was getting more detail on your story, and it's really fascinating to me. So let's kind of set this up, if you will. Back in the around mid-2000s, you're doing consulting work, right? You're out there. You're pretty much a hired gun, if you will, right? They need an expert. They bring you in. But it was really going from client to client, customer to customer in the data management space. Am I essentially correct?
Yeah, that's pretty right, yeah.
And then something happened on the way home one night. Tell our audience about that, Dylan.
Well, I think, you know, if anyone's been a consultant, particularly in the data management space, you'll know what it's like. There's a lot of kind of long hours. And, you know, you kind of, at some point when you're working for yourself, you just feel like there has to be another way, and you're absolutely shattered. You know, you're not seeing your family. And I was kind of in a train station. It was pouring with rain. It was England, and it always rains. And I was just kind of trying to figure out if there's any books I could read on the way home. And I came across this book called, I think it's called Blog Wild. And I kind of just started flicking through it and bought it. And literally, I didn't put it down until pretty much the following day. And then I realized that, okay, that this could be a way out, because, you know, I didn't really know a great deal about blogs. And I thought, well, no one else in my industry is really blogging about the things that I know about. And that's really what triggered the journey, really. Yeah. So, you know, I looked around, no one else was blogging. There was no communities online. There was, you know, very few trade shows and things like this really in our area. And I thought, you know, this gave me a chance really to be one of the first people in the industry to kind of really do something a little bit different. And hopefully the idea initially was maybe, you know, getting some more steady clients, but then over time it grew into something quite different.
So you made that leap from, you know, kind of living, you know, feast to famine, client to client, contract to contract, and you started to focus in on blogging. Were you using WordPress at the time?
We started out on that, and I didn't really take to it the whole kind of technical side of it, you know, backing it up and, you know, having to deal with updates and things like this. So we've made a few mistakes along the way. We went with a really expensive kind of community platform initially that was costing us like $500 a month.
Wow.
So we got burned with that one, and the cost just didn't really justify the return we were getting on it. And then we tried, we went to Squarespace, and we kind of stuck with Squarespace for a while, but, you know, we've kind of outgrown it. It's great for, you know, getting up nice little boutique websites for, you know, hairdressers and things like that now, but we've kind of outgrown it. So, which is kind of what led us down the Rainmaker route, which has kind of been quite transformative, really.
I want to talk more about Rainmaker, Dylan. However, before that, though, so you were basically, you were inspired, you set up some blogs in your niche, started to get some traction using different platforms, et cetera. But, you know, platforms are just the one of the endpoints, right? You were still having to get people to these platforms. And so you mentioned earlier during the break a little bit about LinkedIn, why you went after LinkedIn first when you started to make that transition from going from consulting work over to really information.
Okay, well, you know, I got onto LinkedIn pretty much when it first came out, because you know, I had a few friends who were working out in the States, and they were saying, hey, you got to get on there. And when I first got on there, I thought, well, it's kind of like a CV site, you know, and I couldn't really see the value. And then a couple of years later, I noticed that everybody I knew was on there. So I think the tech space and the space I was in, the data management sector, you know, the IT space, they all got on there early. And I remember just going to one conference in the mid sort of 2000s, and I just collect loads of business cards. I looked at the delegate list, and then I went on to LinkedIn that evening when I got back, and there was literally every single person who was at that conference was on there. And I thought, well, you know, this is going to save me a heck of a lot of work. Instead of going to these conferences, I could just go onto LinkedIn and find these people. And I think that was the big moment for me. And I thought, well, you know, I don't need to go to conferences. I can just go onto LinkedIn and I could just build the audience I want from there. So it was a case of, and I was looking around at who was kind of promoting themselves and posting content on LinkedIn. And it was mostly a lot of kind of B2B marketers, really, from tech companies who are posting pretty weak content. And the content I was posting was really in-depth, you know, really detailed tutorials and guides. And I just kind of blew people away, because no one was going to the depth. No one was publishing the sort of quality that I was. So we were able to grow a really quick audience a loyal audience as well. A lot of our members we have on the site now grew from those early days. You know, a lot of the real kind of long-term members we have all stem from those, you know, 2006, 2005 sort of days, really, when we first started getting active on LinkedIn.
Gotcha. So you're basically coming in and you're set up these sites. You're already familiar with LinkedIn. You're using that as a traffic generator by putting out just much better quality content than you had with anybody else. Is that essentially it?
Yeah, and the first thing I did as well was create groups. You know, as soon as groups came out, I mean, groups didn't come onto LinkedIn for a few years, but as soon as they did, we were kind of all over that. We created several groups for our niche, and we became active in all the other groups as well. That, you know, and all, overnight, there was sort of 10, 15 different groups. Mm-hmm. And again, you know, a lot of the content coming in there was quite weak, so we were able to dominate that by posting, you know, weekly high-value content, roundups of the best content and things like this. So we became known as a really good, you know, high quality media source really from the get go, as soon as groups came out.
Sure. And that's always, I mean, you found what we've always known as marketers is that the power of those LinkedIn groups, especially if you're a good content creator, is absolutely phenomenal because it does lead to more traffic, doesn't it?
Well, absolutely. But I think, you know, I can't stress the, you know, the benefit of ownership as well. If you own a group, you effectively have a direct kind of route to someone's inbox.
Right.
And, you know, email marketing is still, for as good as social is, you know, you'll know this as well. You know, email marketing is key, you know, and like,
right.
You know, the whole, you read copy blogger from day one, they say the same thing.
Yeah.
You know, social's great. Facebook's great. But, you know, part of the reason why, you know, guys like copy blogger move off Facebook is because, you know, things like you can't beat getting into someone's inbox and using, LinkedIn, you know, you can send out announcements to someone's inbox. You know, they're tightening up on it, so you can't do it kind of every day, nor would you want to. But, you know, having that ability to build up a list of several thousand people who are highly targeted and just be able to send them useful information and the occasional promotion directly into their inbox, that's been a game changer for us. You know, that's driven probably 80% of our traffic over the years.
So Dylan, this is what you have just said, though, is what gets me so excited, because your whole journey, your whole experience has been something that we, in doing the show, wanted to share out there because we know the elements that have worked. You just got through talking about the power of groups and the email capability, which I've been saying forever is one of the hidden gems inside of LinkedIn and why we had a whole show dedicated to just how to use groups effectively. And you're a living case study of that. So congratulations for A, just being smart enough to do it, and B, for your success. So
yeah, it's great. I mean, I think it's, you know, the key thing, it's not just about your group as well. I mean, one of the things I've done is build really solid relationships with a lot of other group owners as well. I mean, some of them have let me, you know, become moderator. So I can't stress that enough as well. You build those relationships with other group owners, and, you know, so that when you do post information in there, they can see it's from you, it's trusted, and they'll even, you know, promote it as manager's choice material and things like this. So yeah, it's all about, you know, it's a social network after all. So, you know, build those bonds. That's something we found really useful as well.
Oh my gosh, Micah, he's a poster child for us. I love this guy. All right, so Dylan.
It's not just
that.
And it's got the excellent accent.
So let's go through. So you were building on these other platforms. You were obviously doing aggressive LinkedIn work on your own group, other groups, participating, quality content, contributing to the story, focusing on LinkedIn, because given your space, you were finding that your audience was there. And you're building these traffic over to the sites that you have. But then you got upset with the sites and not in like a personal way. It's just like, okay, I don't think this may be where I want to spend all my time. So I want to talk about that a little bit, because, you know, I've often felt that Rainmaker is an evolution, if you will, right? I've always felt that, you know, when you first start out with your very basic website, you're probably using some website template builder, right? And then you keep on progressing up. So Dylan, I want to go through again kind of your progression, but more specifically, what was it that was just kind of causing you pain and angst to make you sit there and really consider the Rainmaker platform?
Okay, well, I mean, the platform we were on and we're moving from was Squarespace. And Squarespace, we got as far as we could with it, really, because there was no more forums. They used to have forums on there, and they cut that. And they used to have a membership kind of back end, and they cut that. And it was pretty clear where they were going. They were going for this mass audience of, you know, Super Bowl ads and selling very, very simple platforms that, you know, if a hairdresser wanted to get their website on that evening, they could do it. That's right. Great. And, you know, if you want a basic blog, that's fine. But we wanted to build a business, you know, a proper business platform. And I think that's where we kind of parted company with that type of platform. Because, you know, the key thing for me really was, you know, when we wanted to move away from just doing a blog, you know, we wanted to build a proper business platform with marketing automation and membership back end, because one of the ideas we had was really around, well, we on LinkedIn, we could see that a lot of people were going to conferences, and going to conferences, I could see that a lot of people were getting a little bit fed up with the high cost of them. And a lot of people, you know, if you're in the UK, you can't get to the US conferences, the price is just too much. So we hit upon the idea of doing a virtual summit whereby we, you know, we had amazing connections because we built them up over time via LinkedIn with authors and experts across the world. And we thought, wouldn't it be cool if we could get all of those experts on one platform, as you would at a conference, but we just do it virtually. You know, so we looked around, and then, you know, around that time, I was kind of signed up to Copyblogger and getting all those updates every day. And you can't help but notice that Rainmaker was coming along. I did the four, you know, you kind of have to be on planet Mars not to realize this thing is coming. So I was one of the first beta users. I think as soon as it came out, I thought, well, let's give it a go. And I did the trial, and I was in the beta. And even in the beta stages, it was just incredible. I remember, you know, I had this idea of the virtual summit. I sketched it down on paper. I signed up for the beta, and within a day, we had it pretty much done. You know, we had all the
framework
done.
What did you say? In a day?
In a day. It was, you know, I had this kind of idea on a piece of paper. I'm a kind of visual guy, and I sketched it all out, all the different elements that I wanted. I wanted a membership back end. I wanted a payment gateway. You know, I wanted to be able to build a blog and podcast and all these things on there. And then it kind of just ticked all the boxes. We just built it. It was so simple. It was kind of drag and drop. We had the landing pages done, everything. And then so we kind of tested it out, showed it to a few people. And yeah, it was this kind of agile prototype, and people just got it straight away and said, well, yeah, that just solves all our problems. I would love my team to go to a conference, but I can't afford my team to go to a conference because you're looking at 5K investment. I said, well, great, you know, if we can do this for you for, you know, £500, are you in? And they said, yeah, totally. So we were able to kind of build it, show it to them, get that backing, and then go out and sign up. You know, we signed up 20-odd presenters literally in a few days because we had that LinkedIn connection and that deep bond we built up with them. We'd interviewed a lot of them on the site and things like that. So then the cool thing for me was that, you know, I just kind of scripted out using some kind of working instructions for my partner here to kind of go away and build it, so I could kind of step back and just say, right, go build this thing. And that's been the coolest thing for me, is finally I've been able to scale. I found a platform that allows me to scale, because before we were kind of using little bits of pieces and components all over the place. It's a bit, you know, bits of forum software here, landing page software there, all over the place, and just trying to manage that complexity was a nightmare. So yeah, that was a cool thing. It was all in one place, and we just said, right, there you go. So the training was easy. It was like 2 or 3 days training just to show them the ropes, and then that's it. I kind of sat back and let them build the whole site for us, really.
And what is amazing, and you just, you know, it's so wild to me, Dylan. This is why I wanted you on the show, because this was a story you were sharing on our LinkedIn discussion group, and you were using LinkedIn to drive traffic. You went to the Rainmaker platform. You pretty much, I mean, I couldn't write the marketing script better, quite frankly, because you hit on everything that from the design, because from the very first day when we were building Rainmaker, it was about that simplicity. You know, Brian Clark had always wanted a platform where he could go from idea to execution without having to bring in a raft of people or out having to figure out how many 20 different plugins he needed and get them all configured and put them together, et cetera. And so I love the fact that here is a real life case study of someone who really kind of went from idea to prototype in a day, and then was able to expand upon that to continue to sit there and build on it, because there was something that you said to us that blew me away, because you did launch something on Rainmaker, did you not?
Yeah, so the launch was kind of, you know, it was quite a surreal experience, because we kind of reached out to people in terms of getting the presenters, and pretty much everyone we spoke to said yes, because we built up the bond. You know, we know them from LinkedIn and everything. So in a way, they kind of became our little publicity platform. And again, this is another value of, you know, sort of getting active on LinkedIn and using the social aspect of it, is that these people become content catalysts for you. That's a term I use a lot, because the whole launch was really built around content catalysts. So they helped us to promote it. We already had a large membership of, you know, sort of 5,500, 6,000 people that we could tap into. So yeah, we just the site was up and running. We created all the videos from all the presentations. They were all pre-recorded. We flicked the switch. And yeah, it was a success straight out the gate. I mean, we had a few, you know, we were terrified a few weeks before we were about to launch. We had this EU regulation come in with an extra tax for digital products, and then Rainmaker just really kind of proactively said, right, okay, we'll have a Taxamo integration and sorted that out. So everything just, you know, you couldn't. It was just so cool. And the one thing I would say is that, you know, the support I got from the Rainmaker guys was just, I've never written a letter to, you know, I've never written a note to the head of support of any company, certainly online company, saying this was all down to you guys, you know, because it really, under it was just like having a third man in the team. They were just constantly there helping us get. So yeah, we got a, you know, and I'm a technical guy, but it comes to coding and things like that, I just can't do it. So whenever we needed a little design tip or, you know, color change and things like that, I would just ask them and they would just give us so much help. So yeah, we went live and pretty much out the gate, it sold really well, and that sets us up now. We know we've got a platform, but now we're rolling it out onto our other niche. So one of our niches we just launched is the data quality one. So dqpvs.com is the first one, and now we're just starting to roll it out for others. So we know the model works, people really like it. So, you know, we're just looking at other industries now where we can go. So we're about to launch, yeah, we've got another one coming on Rainmaker, and we've got another one coming as well. We're going to look at the webinar industry. Yeah. So we're launching webinartactician.com, and hopefully we're going to go down a similar model, because I could just definitely see growth in these areas. But it's just so many different. I don't really see that many companies doing it. So right. I think, you know, if you've got an industry where, you know, you've got a high cost of conferences and things like this, then there's no reason why you can't do it. And we've built it on Rainmaker just from A to Z all the way through. It was just an absolute doddle, really, to get it up. It was so easy.
And you're continuing to – I love that term, by the way, content catalyst. I went to just pay because you're continuing to use this concept. And I want to end on this idea, because you're the first person I've ever heard use that word. So I want to get your definition. What is the power of a content catalyst? What are they? How do they play a role in the overall marketing?
Well, you know, you'll kind of see them on LinkedIn, but they won't be obvious. And the key thing is that a content catalyst is someone who's already active, typically on a social network, and they can help you get traction with your own content. And, you know, they typically have like a solid grounding in your niche. Quite often, they probably know more than you do, which a lot of people discount them, because they'll view them as competitors. But, you know, you've just got to view them as an ally and a partner in many ways. So they'll often have a large number of connections on platforms like LinkedIn. They may appear at conferences. They may, you know, a lot of the content catalysts I know are the book authors, you know, things like that. So they have this kind of gravitas around them. People gravitate towards them. You know, they'll keynote conferences and things like this. But the key thing is, a lot of these guys will comment, share, and like other people's content. And that's the key thing, is once you can get them on your side. And there's a quid pro quo. You know, you've got to mention their book. You've got to promote their content as well and build up this kind of win-win relationship. But certainly on platforms like LinkedIn, and what we found on our virtual summit, they are just you know, gold dust if you can build those relationships with them.
And it was easier on LinkedIn because you could find them, and they were receptive to business-oriented communication through the platform.
Absolutely. And, you know, there's a little trick that you can, you know, I don't know if people have got a pen and paper, but with them, if you go into a LinkedIn group, okay, and you look at the discussions, on a big group, you'll see just endless promotions by typically B2B marketers, a lot of tech firms and things like that. If you look at the social media marketing groups and things like this, you'll see loads of people just firing promotional posts, post after, you know, promoting their blog posts. if you search for, if you scroll through every page of the discussions, okay, keep scrolling, scrolling, scrolling all the way to the end, and then if you search for like and put in brackets, you know, a high number such as 30, and then just work down, say 30, 29, 28, right, keep searching, you'll start to find who's posting the content that is getting the most shares.
Ah.
And then you'll start to see who is commenting the most on these posts. And that's how you'll start to find these content catalysts. And they're not always authors and big name practitioners and experts. Quite often they're just people who, you know, just love to share and love to comment. And these guys can be incredibly skilled, but they just kind of, sometimes they hide under the shadow. So by using groups, you can really find these people. And that's really what I've done. I've made it my kind of quest. I have a little LinkedIn habit, like a little set of tasks I do every day. And that's one of the things I do. I just search through these groups, finding these people, reaching out to them and saying, hey, you know, can I feature you on the site? Can I help in any way? Or, you know, so I'll send them the,
love it.
Yeah, so it's a really, really simple tip. And it's we use that every day. It's part of our kind of standard LinkedIn habit list.
Yes, and I think that was, again, I love that tactic, going into the groups, going and searching for the posts that are most liked, finding those people, because again, if people are writing great, compelling content, if they're commenting, they're participating, they might not be that super famous influencer out there, but they may have a lot of influence without them having the big moniker of a book or something behind their name.
Great, it's a good one. It's one we use literally every single day. You know, there's loads of things like that you can do. I mean, another one is... that we use all the time is if you build up a picture of your perfect customer avatar, for example, perhaps they're a CEO in the media industry, just search for those avatars on LinkedIn, okay? And then if you look at their profile, there's a little where it says send a message or
right.
If they're second degree, at the very top of their profile, you'll see a little blue box with a little down arrow. Now, if you pull that down and click on view recent activity, you can see what your ideal customers are doing on LinkedIn, and you don't have to be connected to them, but this is something we do as well. So if there's a new sector we want to get into, we find these avatars, we see what your target personas are sharing and talking about, and you'll see all these articles and things like this that they're sharing, and you think, well, if my target audience is sharing this content, I need to be engaging with the right people who are creating that content. So yeah, that's another thing we do. And we just build a big database of all those people, and then we reach out to them and we get them on a show, on our shows and interviews and things like that. But or the other thing we do is say, okay, well, if this target person likes that content, well, I'm going to try and create content that extends it or goes that little bit further, because you know your target audience likes that material. So LinkedIn is the, without doubt, the best crowdsourcing content platform, hands down.
Dylan, I cannot thank you enough for being on the show. The information, the advice. I mean, you were just like, you're like idea. I mean, I didn't even know people like you existed, okay?
Did you pay him, Sean? I think you paid him.
I swear to God, doesn't it feel like it, Micah? I mean, you were just...
It feels like you paid him money or sent him chocolates.
No, I think what he's trying to do is sit there and get it on my show, basically. He's like, well, since I've actually done it from, you know, LinkedIn all the way to Rainmaker, maybe I should be doing your show, Sean. So I love it, Dylan. I love the fact that you have your story. I love the fact that you've been sharing a lot of great tips and tactics. And more importantly, Dylan, I'm happy for your success, man. I really am. I mean, it's just a great journey. Certainly a journey I think a lot of our audience have either gone through or would like to go through. And the good news is for that rainy platform one time in the England, you were able to sit there and literally change your life. And I'm so glad that we at Rainmaker Digital could play a little bit of a role in helping you on that journey. So thank you again for being on the show, Dylan.
No, thank you, guys. You know, it's been an exciting journey, and you know, Rainmaker, the guys have been a huge part of it, really. So yeah, thank you. It's been a blast.
Well, I think, Micah, that's going to be a wrap for the show this week. I'm super excited about this. I was, when I heard Dylan's story, I wanted it to be shared, and so I just can't thank him enough. And Micah, I think we're done. Yep. Any parting thoughts, Micah?
No, but I will definitely put some links to our Rainmaker platform in there so that you guys can check it out. Wink, wink.
And also make sure we're going to put a link into that virtual conference that he launched up to, because, again, it was just hugely successful for him, and we're so, so happy for him. Alrighty, fans, that is it for this episode of The Missing Link. We will catch you next time. Take care.
You have just experienced The Missing Link exclusively on Rainmaker.fm.